Okay, Perek Vav of Sefer Yehoshua. We are in this, every Perek in Navi is exciting, but this is extremely exciting as the walls of Yericho are about to come down. We know I mistakenly read the first pasuk of this Perek at the end of last year. I just misread it. The first pasuk in this Perek is that Yericho was closed. No getting in, no getting out, it was closed off. Nobody even thought. Imagine huge walls with no doors. You can't get in, can't get out. And Hashem says to Yeshua, look, I'm going to give you Yericho. That's the first place you're going to enter, and you're going to conquer. And we know Yeshua gave the command to walk around the city for 7 days. Once a day, the first 6 days. On the seventh day, they walked around seven times. They blew shofaros, and the walls came tumbling down. Not exactly tumbling down. Chazal said they got swallowed up into the ground. They didn't fall. It was tachtehem. Chazal say that it was swallowed up in its place, and all the inhabitants of the city ran. They were scared, and Am Yisrael went in. The whole process is described. There are connections between this and what we do on the seventh day of Pesach, Hoshana Rabbah, when we walk around once every day, and on Hoshana Rabbah we walk around the seventh day, and some yeshuls even have the minhag of blowing shofar between each of the hakafos that they do as a remez to what happened in Yericho. But this is the story, and at the end of the parak we know Yehoshua ben Nun says, don't touch any of the spoils. You can't take anything from the city. We'll talk about why Yehoshua ben Nun did that, but he said, don't touch anything, number one. Number two, which is already a lead into the next parak where we know somebody did take from the spoils, and at the end of the parak, Yehoshua makes an oath and makes everyone else make an oath. Arur ha'ish, cursed is the man that rebuilds Yericho. If anybody ever rebuilds Yericho, they will have all of their children die. Their first son will die when they put the first hammer in, and their last child will die when they build up the final door. And we know later on in Tanakh, in Melachim, there was a man named Chiel who went and did this, and all of his kids died as he built up the city. But that's how the parak ends, that he made this curse, and Hashem is with Yehoshua. And Vayihi Shamo B'chal Ha'aretz. Everyone knows about Yehoshua. His fame is across the land. That's the parak in a nutshell. Now let's go back and talk about it a little in depth. So the parak starts off, Vayomer Hashem El Yehoshua, Re'e Nasati V'yadcha, I have placed in your hand Es Yericho. I have given Yericho Ves Malko Gibori Hachayel. I have given you this king and his inhabitants. Vasabosa Mesir, go around the city. Hakefa Seir Pamechas, go around it. Why going around? What does going around mean? We know, if you think about it, where else do we have going around seven times? We also have it by a chuppah. The minhag is for the kala to walk around the chasan seven times with the mothers. What is that? So many explain that going around is creating an environment. The kala creates the environment of the chasan. So forevermore now, the chasan is in the kala zone. No one else. This is the zone. This is the environment that is being created for this chasan. Rav Dessler writes in the Chelek Beis of Michtam Elio, this is also what's going on. Doesn't compare it to the chasan and the kala, but he says this is what's happening. Bnei Yisrael are full of kedusha. They're full of sanctity. By going around Yericho, which is full of tumah, they are cordoning off and separating and creating a new environment. And they're cutting off the tumah from its roots, and it's going to be eradicated totally. But again, going around is creating a new environment. That's what the Michtam Elio talks about there at Chelek Beis. So what happens? Yeshua says, go around one time each for 6 days straight. And then Pasuk Dalet. This is the Pasuk of sevens. The Radak points out, there's a lot of sevens here. V'shiva Kohanim. Get seven Kohanim. Yisu shiva shofaros that are carrying seven shofarot. Seven shofars. Hayovlim lefnei Haron. Uvayom ha-shvi. And on the seventh day. A lot of sevens. Tasobu esayir sheva pa'amim. It's four sevens. Seven Kohanim, seven shofars. Seventh day, seven times. V'akohanim yisku'u ba'shofaroths. Why did we have to do it in this exact way? So the Radak ultimately says, it's a sod of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded us to do this. We can't ultimately know why exactly Hashem wanted us to do it this way, but we do know that sevens are always connected to halacha. Seven represents a unit. We know everything in nature is seven. 7 days of the week and seven colors on the rainbow and seven cycles of Shemitah is a Yovel. Seven is always nature, of course, the seventh day being Shabbos. Chazal tell us, the Radak quotes, that this was Shabbos. The day that they went in and the walls fell down was Shabbos. Day one wasn't just day one, it was Yom Rishon, it was Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, so it was Shabbos. So the Mefarshim point out, fascinatingly, everybody, we know Masech HaShabbos is a machlokas, when the Torah was given. On the sixth day of Sivan or on the seventh day of Sivan? But what does the Gemara say? But everybody agrees, it was given on Shabbos. Kuli, the question is, what day was Shabbos? The sixth day or the seventh day? So we know the Gemara in Brachas tells us there are three special gifts that are given to Klal Yisrael, and they're only nikneh with sweat and tears and difficulty. What is that? Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba. Eretz Yisrael, right here. Eretz Yisrael is connected to Shabbos, right? It was given to us on Shabbos. Torah was given to us on Shabbos, and Olam Haba is Yom Shekula Shabbos. They all have a connection. Those three gifts that are given to Klal Yisrael, they all have that connection to Shabbos. So again, this is Shabbos that is the day that they went in. Just getting ahead of ourselves, that is one of the reasons, one of the suggestions that Yeshua ben Nun said that you can't take any of the spoils. Because it was Maisa Shabbos. They did this on Shabbos. And whenever you do a malacha on Shabbos, even if it's needed, it could be that, you know, the results of that malacha, one might not be able to get benefit from. Okay, as a side, we'll get to other reasons, though, as we continue. So Yeshua ben Nun says, Bimshoch Keren Ayovel, when you hear the sound of the Yovel, Yarios Kalam Shura Gedola, V'naflachom Asir Tachteha. There's the phrase where Chazal get it from. The walls of the city will fall under them. What do you mean under them? The walls of the city fall. When you a wall falls, it falls to the side. It doesn't fall under. So Pasuk He says, Tachtel, under it. That's where Chazal get that they understand that it just sunk in. It sunk in to the ground. Va'alu ha'am ish negdo, and everybody went up. That is the understanding. There is a fascinating suggestion, though, by the Radak. I didn't mention, but later on in the Perek is also discussed how Rachav and her family are saved. Rachav, the woman that took in the Meraglim and hid them and allowed them to go back. Rachav says, promise me that you're not going to kill me or my family. And the Psukim earlier said that Rachav's house was built into the wall. Built into the wall of the city. That's how they got out and over and ran away. So ask the Radak, if the walls fell down, then how is Rachav's house still standing? Right? It was part of the wall. The house was part of the wall. So the Malbim says, it was next to the wall, but it wasn't mamish the wall. It wasn't actually the wall. It doesn't sound that way, but that's the Malbim. Says the Radak, different than we understand. You know what the Radak says? Only the wall of the city that was facing the Jews fell down. The other three walls stood up. They stayed. It was just the wall that they needed to fall down that was in front of them that fell down. And Rachav's house was on the side, a different side. So that's why the wall that her house was connected to did not fall down. That is the suggestion of the Radak, to be able to understand the walls coming down and Rachav's house still being up. Good. Pasuk Vav. Vayikra Yeshua ben Nun el hakohanim vayomer aleihem. Su'u es Aron Abris. Just like when they went into the Yarden, the Aron's going. The Aron is involved in this project. Take the Aron, the Shiva Kohanim Yisu Shiva Shofaros, and the seven Kohanim will carry the seven Shofaros, Yovlim Lifnei Aron Hashem. They will go in. Why, Dafka, do they have to take shofars? What was the uniqueness of the shofar at this time? So we've discussed many times in the past that shofar is a form of tefillah. Blowing shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, we know. We don't do any other mitzvah in the middle of Shemona Esrei. We're not allowed to. You're not allowed to hold anything in the middle of Shemona Esrei, let alone a sitter. That's it. But other than that, you can't hold the sefer, you're not allowed to hold the sefer Torah. We don't do any mitzvah during Shemona Esrei. It'll be a hefsek. We don't eat matzah in the middle of Shemona Esrei. We don't even shake a little bit of an esrog. What do? We blow shofar in the middle of Shemona Esrei. What are we doing? Whether you do it in the silent Shemona Esrei or only in the Chazaras HaShatz, but you're doing it in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So the Mefarshim explain, because shofar is a form of tefillah. It's a prayer without words. Why do we have a prayer without words? On Rosh Hashanah, we want to cover our bases. We pray with words, we pray without words. We discussed in the past the thoughts of Rav Soloveitchik, that we want to make sure, sometimes we don't even know, don't always know what's good for us to daven for. We daven for something, but really HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that's not really the best thing for us. So we want to make sure that we cover our bases on Rosh Hashanah, so we daven, and then we daven a tefillah without words. But shofar is a form of tefillah. So that's why, along with our doing our hishtadlus of going around the walls of Yericho, we were also davening through the shofar. And the Mishpat Zozov explains, he quotes those that suggest that just like a shofar breaks down the mechitzas, breaks down the walls between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, that's why we're using it dafka here, because it's breaking down the walls between us and Yericho. That's the suggestion of the Mishpat Zozov. Here, let me just get it on page Kuf Yud Gimel. He says right here, Kemosha Rom Shekocho Shel Hashofar Baruch Hashana Lahavkia Derech Letfilos Yisrael Betocha Mechitzo Shasatan Sogeru Machasel Besen Shamala. The Satan is closing up. No Tefillah allowed in. The Shofar pierces the blockage and gets all straight up to the Kisei HaKavod. So too, that's what we use. That's what we use here. That's why another seven before we blow Shofar, we say the Perek of Tehillim seven times. Again, there's a connection there between the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, Lam Natzeach Levnei Korach Mizmar, and there's some Rumazim, even hints in that parak to the story of Yericho. Okay, we continue now. So, Yeshua says, Ivru v'sabu v'seir, gather around and go around seven times, and he gives a whole order, who goes first, who goes second, some of the chalutzim, some of the warriors. Fascinating that the warriors, the anshei milchama, had to go, even though there wasn't going to be a milchama. But Hashem told Yeshua to tell Am Yisrael, let them go around. Let them go around, even though they're not going to fight. Let him see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness in terms of how he has everyone going. Ve'ez ha'am, look at Pasuk Yud, ve'ez ha'am tibi Yeshua le'mar. Yeshua gives a specific command to the nation. Lo tariyu, v'lo tashmiyu es kolchem, v'lo yetze mipicham davar. Don't say a word. Walk around and keep quiet. Until I give you the signal, don't say a word. As if he's emphatic. Don't say a word. Why is that? So one of the Svarim, the Mishpat Zav quotes it here. He says, what must have been happening at that time, all these days, when Bnei Yisrael were walking around the walls? There were probably Yericho soldiers on top of the walls looking down at these foolish Jews. What are you doing? You're walking around? You're not shooting at us. There's no bow and arrows. There's no cannonballs. What do you do? They're probably laughing at us and taunting us and making fun of us. What does Yeshua say? Don't say a word. Don't talk back. As the Gemara says, Hane'ala ve'ino olev. If somebody's insulted and doesn't talk back, so then they're the ones that are going to be victorious in the end. Ne'ala ve'ino olev, right? Maver al midosav. And that's what Am Yisrael were going through at this time. And he expands it and says, Gilui, greatness and revelation is always secretive at the beginning. Right? Leda starts with a pregnancy. There's always something hidden. Whenever there's a geula, it starts with a gullus. It starts with a choshech. All light always starts with a choshech. So that's why we're creating the darkness, so to speak, when we go around without doing anything. Yeshua says, quiet. And then it'll be time for Am Yisrael to say what they need to say. Okay, so what happens? The first day they go around once and twice, and they continue every day once until they get through the 6 days. On the seventh day, they go around seven times. And Yeshua says, now's the time to start making noise, and the walls are going to fall down. But before that, Yehoshua says to them, Pasuk Yuzayin, V'haysa ha'ir cherem hi, V'chol asher bo l'Hashem. Here's where he says the command. Doesn't say that Hashem told him to say this, but we assume that Hashem told him. According to most Mefarshim, do not take any of the spoils. The spoils are off limits. The spoils belong to God. Why is that? Why did he do that? So if you look in Rav Shechter's Hagdama to Be'ikve Hatzon, he talks there about the Medrash in the beginning of Dvarim. The Medrash says, connects amazingly many of the biblical personalities. Avraham gave a bracha to Yitzchak. Vayitein Avraham es kol asher lo li Yitzchak. And he gave them a bracha. Vayitein lecha Elokim. Yitzchak gave a bracha to Yaakov. He picked up where his father Avraham left off. Vayitein lecha Elokim. Vayikra Yitzchak. And he says, he starts off with the word that his father ended off with. Yaakov is about to give a bracha to the Shvatim. He starts his bracha with the last word that Yitzchak said. And it goes through the psukim. Moshe was going to give a bracha to Klal Yisrael. He picks up and gives a bracha with the last word that Yaakov had used. What's the message of the Medrash? Rav Shechter explains that we always have to ask the question, Masa Yagio Masa L'Masa Yavosai. Our actions in life have to represent a connection, a link in the chain of the Jewish people. Look at the chain of Am Yisrael. That's what our lives have to be. Our lives can't be something new, disconnected from our Mesorah. Our lives have to reflect that we are the next generation of Am Yisrael, and we are connected, and that's the message of the Medrash. Yitzchak took over where Avram left off. Yaakov took over where Yitzchak left off. Continually, we have to be a mamshich. We have to be a continuation of that Mesorah. V'nira Rav Shechter writes, Shalimud gadol ba medrash lamdenu, she'ejes leinu Mesorah, lo rak al prati ha-halachos, elaf al kol shar hanagas achayim. And the Medrash is not even talking about halacha. It's talking about giving brachos. What does that mean? That our lives, forget our mitzvos, our lives have to be continuations of the earlier generations. Where do we see this? Where do we see that our lives are have to be continuations? Yislav Gavinu, we know what Parshas told us. He named the wells the same names that his father named the wells. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to be connected. Yoshua ben Nun, right here. Rav Shechter writes, Lo Yomash Mitocha Oel, Moshe Rabbeinu, put a, he says, Ketziv Hashem as Yoshua v'chulu, v'afal piken, k'shito chir mal'ir yuricho, umal ba'achan, kos lo v'kodesh baruch hu. Rav Shechter is explaining the other idea, the other side. Sorry, I was ahead of myself. Most Mepharshim assume that Hashem told Yoshua to command Bnei Yisrael to not take part in the Cherem. But there are those, there are Midrashim that say Yoshua ben Nun shouldn't have done this. He shouldn't have done this. He should have let them. Hashem didn't tell him not to allow them to partake. So what was the Aver? Why did Yoshua want to do it? Because Moshe Rabbeinu did it. Moshe Rabbeinu did it by Sichon and by Og. So that's why Yoshua wanted to do it. So what was the problem? He was following. So Rav Shechter explains, based on Rav Salvechik's ideas, and that is there's a big difference between what we call a Machadesh and a Mishana. Mechadesh is somebody who has chidushim. Many times in life, we don't live in the same generation as our forefathers, but we have to apply the principles of the Torah into our lives in the same way. It's different lives, but the same principles have to be applied to our lives. So we have to be mechadesh. What does Torah say about technology? What does Torah say about this and about that? So that's a mechadesh. A mishana is changing the principles. Yoshua ben Nun, the problem was, he explains, was doing the exact same thing. But it was a new generation. It was going into Eretz Yisrael now. And you can't always do exactly the same actions that was done earlier. You just have to apply the same principles. That's if you look there in the Hagdama, Tibik V'Yatzon, he goes a little more in depth relating to this issue. Okay, but there is another point to make. And that is, according to the view that most assume, that there was it was appropriate for Yeshua to make a cheirim, make it off limits. Why? So there is a Mishnah in Meseches Tamid. Tamid is a Masechta at the end of Seder Kachim. The Mishnah in Tamid says on Daf Lamed, Mei Yericho HaYeshomin Kol Shar Gadol Sheniftach. In Yericho, when the gate of the Beis HaMikdash opened every morning, they heard it in Yericho. Mei Yericho HaYeshomin Kol Magrefa. When they banged a shovel on the floor in the Beis HaMikdash, they heard it in Yericho. Mei Yericho HaYeshomin Kol Ben Arza Makish Bitzolzo. Mei Yericho, they heard everything in Yericho. They heard the kior being lowered into the water and the pulley lifting it up in the morning. They smelled the Torahs in Yericho. And all the Mepharshim say in Yericho, so the Pashas is that it smelled and made such a loud sound that all the way in Yericho, which is not so close to Yerushalayim, not so far, but not so close, they heard it. Says the Ravid in his commentary on the Mishnah in Talmud there, no. It wasn't all the way to Yericho. It was only in Yericho. Because there's a parallel between Yerushalayim and Yericho. And in the words of the Ravid, Yericho is the truma of Eretz Yisrael. And just like the first part, the first grain, you have to take off and leave it, so too the first city that Bnei Yisrael conquered in Eretz Yisrael was off limits. And Yericho had special status because of that. Writes the Ravid, unbelievable. V'davka ha'yabi Yericho nishma v'lo b'shar tzadim. Mipnei, you could have a city that's in between Yerushalayim and Yericho, and they wouldn't hear it in that city. You only heard it in Yericho. Mipnei she'Yericho ha'isa kimo Yerushalayim. Wow. There are no Jews that live in Yericho today. But he says Yericho has this Kedusha. Mipnei she'ahia ischa t'chilas kibash Eretz Yisrael. U'kamo trumas dagon tzorech litrom kein nitrima Eretz Yisrael atzma. And Yoshua made Yericho the Truma. And that's why everyone had to be off limits. And then he says, why did all these things happen in Yericho? You heard the sounds of the Beis HaMikdash and you smelled the Ketores. So people realized that Kedusha. Kedei sheyargishu b'nei adam sheyibi Yericho yeshbo kmo ken ksas Kedusha kmo b'Yerushalayim. An amazing Ravid in Meseches Tamid on Daf Lamed. Okay, so Yeshua made a cheirim. Nobody's allowed to partake of anything in Yericho. And what they do? Rach Rachav Azona. Only Rachav Azona was taken. She and her family were saved, and they were brought to safety. We continue as the psukim conclude. They were machrim. They all listened. We'll learn in the next parak that there was one person who did not listen, but most of them listened. And towards the end, it happened after the tzivui, it went through, the na'arim ha'maraglim, pasach of gimel. The maraglim went and got Racham and got her family and brought her to safety. And what's the word used in pasach chav hey? What'd they do to Rachav and her family? Hecheya Yehoshua. Yeshua literally caused them to stay alive. It's an unusual word. Hechia Yoshua. Yeshua himself did something personally? This is the pasuk that Chazal pick up on and say, Yehoshua married Rachav. Does not say that anywhere in the text. Rachav was Rachav Azona when they went to meet her in Yericho. But Chazal say, Yehoshua ben Nun, Rachav converted, and Yehoshua married Rachav. The problem with that is that Rachav lived in Eretz Canaan. Isn't she one of the seven nations? Losachaya kol neshama. How could Yehoshua ben Nun marry her? Tosas asked this question in Sota Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis. How could Yeshua have married Rachav? So Tosas says maybe it was Apia Dibur. Hashem told him he's allowed to. So that's why if Hashem tells you you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to violate. Maybe another suggestion is that she converted before Am Yisrael went in. Maybe already when the Meraglim went earlier in Perek Beis, Meraglim went, remember, she had this whole declaration, Hashem is awesome and amazing and everybody believes in Hashem. She has this whole declaration. Maybe that was a Geirus. And if that was a Geirus, so that's why Yeshua ben Nun was about to marry her. She already converted before they went in. The seven nations only have the status of the seven nations when Am Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael. The problem I saw the Rinas Yitzchak ask with that is, in order to convert, you have to have Bezdin. You have a Bezdin of three to convert in front of. And there was only two. Only two Meraglim went. So how could there have been a Geirus? Unless you say, the Rinas Yitzchak does Lumdis about Geirus, unless you say only the Kabbalah's Mitzvos needs a Bez Din, that could be done later. The act of Geirus can be done now on condition that you accept all the Mitzvos when there are three people to witness your Kabbalah's Mitzvos. So you got to work out that the problem, assuming they have to follow the halachas of Geirus. This was after the Torah was given. So you have to follow the halachas of Geirus. But that is a difficulty in terms of how he was able to marry Rachav. There is something major, though, that we have to talk about. Two points. Number one is, there is an early tradition. It's not in Chazal, but there is an early tradition that after the walls came down, Yehoshua ben Nun wrote Aleinu. Aleinu l'shabach, the first paragraph of Aleinu, the tradition is that it was written by Yehoshua ben Nun. The second paragraph of Aleinu, Al Kinakave, we'll learn about Hashem next time, and that was written by Achan. Al Kainakava stands for Achan, the one man who took from the spoils. We'll learn about it in the next parak. But the tradition is, again, it's not in Chazal, really, but it's in early sources, that Yeshua ben Nun wrote Aleinu l'shabach after the walls of Yericho fell down. The question is, why Dafka now? You know, what about the nace we read about last time? What about Kriyas HaYarden? That's a pretty cool nace also. But Yeshua ben Nun only read Aleinu after Yericho. So the answer probably is, think about the content of what Aleinu is about. What's Aleinu about? It's about the differences between us and the other nations. Shelo asanik goyer rasas, lo samanik mishchos adama. Shehei mishtachavim lahevel, they bow down to nothingness. Vanachnu karmu mishtachavim v'nei melech malchim lachim, thank you Hashem for making me a Jew. It's all about the declaration of differentiation between us and the other nations. When did they first experience another nation? When the walls fell down. When they crossed the Yarden, there was nobody there. Only after the walls fall, then all of a sudden they see Yericho. They probably see what Yericho was about. They see all the inner workings of the city. They see all the Avodah Zarah. They see everything, all the Toevas of Yericho. So that is why Dafka then, Yeshua ben Nun writes Aleinu. That is an important ha'ara on the text. At the end of the parak, as we mentioned, Yeshua ben Nun curses anybody who ribbles Yericho. And later on in the Torah, Chiel, in Malachim Aleph, Parak Tezayin, Ches Yud Yud Aleph Lamed. Chiel rebuilds Yericho, and his children die throughout the process. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz has a sicha. He said, it's unbelievable. If you don't want to believe in something, you could have open miracles in front of you, and you're still not going to believe. Right? Many people ask, you know, if I had an open miracle, I'd believe in God. Right? And I believe in everything. But now why is Hashem hidden? You know what the answer is? Even if there were open miracles, you don't want to believe, you won't believe. What happened with Chiel? He put the first Yeshua ben Nun. Everybody knew about the curse. Yeshua ben Nun says, every one of your children are going to die as you rebuild Yericho. He does the first hammer, his Bechor drops dead. Oh, what a coincidence. I guess he was sick. He continues building. His next son dies. And his next son dies. He doesn't get the message. He doesn't think there's a Havamina, that there's a possibility that this is because he continues until he finishes the city. As he puts on the last door of the city, his final son died. He never got the point. You could have an open, miracle. Hashem said this is going to happen. And yet if you don't want to believe, that's it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how clear God shows himself. If somebody has an attitude, you could have Kriyas Yamsov in front of you. And you know what the Mitzrayim did? They ran after the Jews. Oh, what a strong tide today. And they ran after. It's unbelievable. But that's the message of that story about the man who rebuilt Yericho. There's no Isser for a Jew to live in Yericho after it's built. The Tosefta says that in Maseches Sanhedrin. But to rebuild it, that is the problem. And that is the message that we learn. Just to end off with the Musar HaNeviim quotes a Medrash. Quotes a Medrash at the end of the Parsha on the last Pasuk. What does the last Pasuk say? That Vayihi Hashem es Yehoshua, Hashem was with Yehoshua, and Vayihi Shamo b'chol ha'aretz. What does that mean? The whole world knew about him. Vayihi Shamo b'chol ha'aretz. The whole, actually, land. All of Eretz Yisrael heard about him. So there's a Medrash. There's a Yalkut Shimoni. There were four people that the whole world knew about. Arba'ahem sheyatsu lehem monitin ba'olam. Four people the whole world knew about. Who are they? The Medrash says, Avraham, Yehoshua, David, and Mordechai. And there were four psukim quoted. There are psukim quoted about each of these four people, where you see. You would think it would fit Moshe also. It doesn't say, quote Moshe. It says, that Moshe was only amongst Am Yisrael. But it says here, Elohim, Avraham, because it says, va'agadla shemecha, I'll make your name great, that Hashem makes your name great. That's the whole world. Yeshua, because of this pasuk. And David HaMelech, because he talks about Vayesi Shem David b'chol ha'aratzos, the pasuk in Divrei HaYamim. And Mordechai, ki gadol Mordechai b'beis HaMelech v'shamo ha'olech b'chol ha'medinos. They're psukim. So he discusses what's the deep connection between all these four people, Avraham, Yeshua, David, and Mordechai. He goes through each one. Doesn't really connect all four, but he goes through what the uniqueness of each one was. Okay, so this is Yehoshua, the author of Aleinu. This, by the way, is the Haftorah for the first day of Pesach. The Haftorah for the first day of Pesach is this, right? I mean, when did this occur? They came across on the 10th day of Nisan, and then a couple days later, we read last time, they shechted the Korban Pesach, they ate the Korban Pesach, it was the second day of Pesach they ate, so this is appropriate for this time, right around then. It doesn't say explicitly what day they did it, but this is when this whole story occurred, right afterwards, the walls of Yericho coming down. And just to end off with the Rambam, the Radak quotes the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, in Pasuk Chavav, what is the reason that you're not allowed to rebuild Yericho? Because the Rambam once says that we want everybody to walk past these walls that are still sticking out a little bit. Remember, they got swallowed up. They didn't fall down. And we want everybody to see the nes. Says the Mor Nevuchim, Lios mofes kayam, shenafla chomas yir Yericho tachteha, ki komi sheyira hachomas shoka'as ba'aretz, whoever sees the wall swallowed up in the ground, yitba'er lo, she'ein ze tchunas binyan neheras. If you just see walls that fell down, another reason why it might have gotten swallowed up and not fall down. Then you see, how did it fall down? I don't know, an army knocked it down. You see deep walls that are sunk into the ground. You know, this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avon Nishtaka B'mofes, it was a miracle. Okay, we'll stop here, but Hashem, we will continue next time.